Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, January 21st, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Tech weakness again this morning following yesterday's late-day sell-off.
Netflix shares plunge on subscriber disappointment.
Bitcoin drops below $39,000.
And J.P. Morgan Chase boosts Jamie Dimon's pay following a record year.
New York Mayor Adams calls for better coordination between federal and local authorities in fighting crime. Plus, a high-stakes meeting between the U.S. and Russia in Geneva. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Another home loss for the Knicks, beaten soundly by the Pelicans. The third round underway at the Australian Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are mixed this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are a little changed. Dow futures up 45, and NASDAQ futures lower, down 49. The 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 1.79%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.02%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5%. Nathan.
Karen, we saw a late-day sell-off on Wall Street spill over into Asia overnight. Let's get the recap on that from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index fell close to 2% over the course of the week, notching up its worst week since November. During Friday's session, the tech sell-off from Wall Street flowed through into Asia, with Japan's TOPIX index flirting with correction. TSMC and Samsung shares were dumped, weighing on the TAIEX and KOSPI, along with Alibaba in Hong Kong. Alibaba shares also hurt by a Financial Times report saying China's state broadcaster has implicated Jack Ma's Ant Group in a corruption scandal. Australian stocks plunged to their lowest in 7 months, while yields on the 10-year fell as much as 9 basis points. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. We are seeing weakness in NASDAQ futures once again this morning after yesterday's plunge sent the tech-heavy index into a correction. And we get the latest live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Karen, after yesterday's 1.3% slide for the NASDAQ, the tech-heavy index is now down close to 12% since its November high, adding to the correction that started this week. Investors have been fretting over higher interest rates from the Fed, and now add another concern. Company earnings have been shaky. Sarah Hunt of Alpine Woods Capital Investors says this is a time when stocks need to stand on fundamentals.
Valuations are finally, after quite a long period of time, going to start to matter. And cash generation and balance sheets are going to be very important as we navigate what is no longer a very easy Fed policy going forward.
The earnings reporting season so far has been uneven, highlighting the risk that may fail to enliven animal spirits in the stock markets. And investors face a 1-2 punch of Fed rate hikes and the possible reduction of its $8.8 trillion balance sheet. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, John, thank you. Now, one market veteran says this selling is not over. Jeremy Grantham's been calling market bubbles for decades. Now, the co-founder of Boston-based GMO says the historic stock collapse he predicted a year ago is underway. Grantham says even intervention by the Fed can't prevent an eventual plunge of almost 50%.
This time trend is at most 2,500, and I would expect, even if the Federal Reserve tries to do the same, it will be hard to prevent the market from declining to that level.
Jeremy Grantham made those comments in a Bloomberg Front Row interview.
The prospect of higher interest rates, Nathan, has been putting stocks under pressure. Now the Fed is preparing for its next policy meeting next week. Economists surveyed by Bloomberg say the central bank will use it to signal a March rate hike, then a balance sheet unwind soon after. Most of the 45 economists polled say the Fed will telegraph a 25 basis point increase, though two of them are looking out for a surprise 50 basis point hike.
Well, let's turn to corporate news now, Karen. A big earnings disappointment from Netflix. The stock is down 21% in early trading. Streaming service expects to add 2.5 million subscribers this quarter. As Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports, that is well short of Wall Street estimates.
It suggests the streaming giant is entering a new phase of slower growth in 2022. Netflix signed up 8.2 million customers in the fourth quarter of 2021, beating Wall Street estimates but leading to the slowest annual growth since 2015. The company says signups have not reaccelerated to pre-COVID levels, blaming a tough economy as well as lingering fallout from the pandemic. In addition, Netflix says its biggest shows of the current quarter don't come out until March. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Another stock darling during the lockdown era is also taking a hit. Peloton lost almost a quarter of its value yesterday after a CNBC report said that the company is temporarily halting production of its bikes and treadmills. The stock hit an all-time high last January at $166 a share. It's trading around $26 in the pre-market.
And Bitcoin's moving lower as well, Karen. In fact, it's trading at its lowest level in more than 5 months. Bitcoin hit a high of almost $69,000 in November. This morning, it's just shy of 39,000.
On Wall Street, Nathan, J.P. Morgan Chase is coming off its most profitable year on record. As a result, it's rewarding CEO Jamie Dimon. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Regulatory filings show that Jamie Dimon got a 10% pay raise to $34.5 million for his work last year. J.P. Morgan earned $48.3 billion in 2021. And the move is the latest sign that after compensation pressures emerged last year from the junior ranks up through the banking and trading hierarchy, banks are now paying their most senior leaders more as well. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Renita, Jamie Dimon's counterpart at Bank of America says his bank expects growth in loan balances in the single digits this year. Brian Moynihan says it depends on the trajectory of the U.S. economy.
Will rates go up? Yes. Four times this year is a prediction. The reality is, does that help our earnings? Yes. But the real reality is that's to bring the economy, you know, to take the inflation out of the system, and if they get it right, because the economy is growing very fast and inflation is growing very fast. As that slows down, we should get back to normal economy.
Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan made the comments in an interview with Bloomberg's David Westin.
And finally, Intel is making a big move to reassert its dominance in the chip industry, Nathan. Bloomberg News has learned the company plans to spend $20 billion on a chip-making hub near Columbus, Ohio. Intel expects it to be the biggest silicon manufacturing site in the world. Futures are mixed, and straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
607 on Wall Street, now 14 degrees in Central Park. Got an accident on Route 17 in Upper Saddle River delaying traffic both ways. And big breaking sports news out of the Australian Open coming up shortly. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York City Mayor Eric Adams called for better coordination between federal and local authorities to fight urban crime. Mayor Adams has faced high-profile violent crimes in New York during his first weeks in office. Adams says law enforcement agencies should coordinate against gun violence the way they did against terrorism after the September 11th attacks.
That same coordination that stopped planes from flying in our buildings must be used to stop bullets from carving highways of death in our country, particularly in black and brown and poorer communities.
Mayor Adams spoke at the National Conference of Mayors in Washington yesterday. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is meeting Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov in Geneva today on Ukraine. During his opening remarks, Blinken acknowledged that these meetings will likely not lead to a resolution on Ukraine, but could serve as a test that diplomacy and dialogue are still possible with the Kremlin.
This is part of an ongoing effort to de-escalate tensions and to prevent further Russian aggression against Ukraine.
Yesterday, President Joe Biden said Russia will pay a heavy price if any of its forces move across the border into Ukraine. The largest anti-abortion rally in the U.S. will take place today in Washington. The March for Life begins as the Supreme Court appears likely in the coming months to rule on states imposing tighter restrictions on abortions. A jury of 18 people who appeared mostly white was picked for the federal trial of three Minneapolis police officers charged in George Floyd's killing. The judge told potential jurors, 12 of them and six alternates, the case has absolutely nothing to do with race. Marvin Lee Adey, better known as Meatloaf, has died. The singer was known for hits including Bat Out of Hell and this one, Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Meatloaf is 74. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for a Bloomberg Sports Update. A shocker in Melbourne, John Stanshauer.
All right, Nathan, that's Naomi Osaka. She had won two of the last three Australian Opens. She had two match points today, but lost a third set tiebreaker to Amanda Anisimova. She's from Freehold, New Jersey. The top seed is Ash Barty. She won easily. She's trying to be the first Aussie to win the women's singles since 1978. Rafael Nadal playing now. He just won the first set in his third round match. Just a nightmare of a week for the Knicks. They had won five straight home games. Were at the Garden for three games in 4 days, all against beatable teams. They lost all three. New Orleans led all the way, pulled away third quarter, outscored the Knicks 35-15. The final was 102-91. The Knicks coach, Tom Thibodeau.
We played hard, but we didn't play, you know, with the toughness that we needed to in terms of to being able to fight through things. So I always say being mentally tough when you face adversity is not going our way. Just keep battling. You know, your hustle can get you back into the game, and oftentimes that's what changes things.
Clearly a big reason the Knicks not where they were last year, the play of Julius Randle. Last night, Randle scored only 4 points, shot 1-for-9. Warriors lost in overtime to Indiana. Another win for league-leading Phoenix in Dallas. The Suns are now 35-9. The Nets play tonight in San Antonio. The Rangers visit Carolina, top two teams in the Metropolitan Division. Major League Baseball has rejected the proposal that came from the Tampa Bay Rays to play half their home games in Montreal. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. Futures have turned lower now, with S&P futures down 13 points. Dow futures had been in the green most of this pre-market. They are now down 11 points. NASDAQ futures extending their declines, now down 100 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 3/32. The yield 1.79%. Yield on the 2-year 1.02%. NYMEX crude down 1.5% at $84.25 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% at $18.36.10 an ounce. Bitcoin $38,800. The latest on the pandemic next. Andy Pekos joins us from the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health on Omicron. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by The Breakers. This winter, a warm welcome awaits you. The Breakers is committed to making your stay even better with exceptional experiences, gracious service, and unparalleled seaside glamour. To learn more, visit thebreakers.com today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures have turned lower, and European stocks are falling as well. Investors are assessing some shaky company earnings and the prospect of higher U.S. borrowing costs. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures on the S&P, well, they were a little changed for much of the morning. They are now down 16 points. Dow futures were higher. They're now down 30. And NASDAQ futures down 106 now, so things are deteriorating. Rating. The DAX in Germany is down 1.6%. The 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 1.79%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.02%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.7% on $1.44 at $84.11 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $8.60 at $18.36.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1332 against the dollar. British pound 1.3561. The yen's at 113.86. And Bitcoin this morning moving lower at $38,800. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in a high-stakes meeting with his Russian counterpart in Geneva over concerns Moscow will invade Ukraine. During his opening remarks, Blinken says that the U.S. and other Western allies are committed to resolving the situation diplomatically, but promising serious consequences if the Russians choose otherwise. Meanwhile, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas says the U.S. is on heightened alert for a cyber attack. The U.S. plans to raise the federal employee minimum wage to $15 an hour. That's according to a report from Axios. Big news out of the Australian Open. Defending women's champ Naomi Osaka was knocked out of the third round after losing to Amanda Anisimova. In the NBA, the Knicks and Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Bruins beat the Capitals 4-3. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to focus in on the pandemic now and signs that the Omicron peak may have come in some parts of this country first hit by the fast-spreading variant. Let's bring in Andy Pekosh now, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Professor, we're seeing the staffing shortage easing in some parts of the country, particularly in the Northeast, after Omicron first emerged about a month ago. Where do you see this wave going?
Well, the first thing we have to remember is, you know, oftentimes severe disease, those hospitalizations and deaths lag behind the case numbers by anywhere from 1 to 2 weeks. So we still want to keep our guard up and make sure that we're monitoring those severe cases. But certainly good news right now to see that case numbers are dropping down. The real question that we have is, are they going to drop down and continue to drop down, or are they going to plateau at a higher level, maybe something like we saw with the Delta variant? That's the unknown right now that we're monitoring.
Well, you say we got to keep our guard up. We've been keeping our guard up, as you know, for nearly 2 years now, and there's been a pretty uneven response when it comes to, you know, whether to keep certain restrictions in place, vaccine mandates to get into businesses. A lot of cities and states are making the decision on their own. How do we keep our guard up when there has been this kind of uneven response?
Well, one of the things is to always think about your personal situation and making sure that you're doing everything that you can to minimize the your risk of infection. And if you minimize your risk of infection, you also minimize the risk in which you're transmitting, and therefore you can make an impact on that on the overall disease progression in the population. So part of it does come down to individuals making sure that they follow the right guidelines, completely understand that this has been going on for a really long period of time. I think if there is a silver lining, the large number of cases that we're seeing with Omicron is probably going to boost this population immunity to a level where we will probably see reduced ability of future variants to spread significantly in the population. I hate to predict things because this virus has always thrown us a curveball whenever we start to think we're feeling comfortable, but this really does look like it could be a turning point in this pandemic with respect to our ability to deal with this virus.
That kind of prediction, I think a lot of us are hoping will pan out. We're seeing testing rollouts, masking rollouts. The Biden administration's dipping into the Strategic National Reserve to make more N95 masks available. What kind of impact could that have? Should it have come sooner?
Yeah, I think it should have come sooner. We had signs very early on that Omicron was more transmissible than other variants. Our stockpiles of the higher quality masks, these KN95s, these N95 masks, were around and probably should have been distributed faster. You know, the flip side is these masks are not as comfortable as a facial covering to wear, and so they bring other problems in terms of people maybe not being compliant in terms of keeping the masks on for all our time. So as with most public health things, it's a balance between doing what we can do to minimize the spread of this virus, but also realizing that, you know, they are things that will impact our day in, day out behaviors.
In a last minute here, I hope it's not too much of a curveball, but I got to get your reaction to this hamster kill that's going on in Hong Kong. It's gotten a lot of attention. What impact could that have? Is that the right track to take when it comes to dealing with COVID?
Well, we know that there are a number of animal species that can host that are infected with COVID-19. We certainly know that here in the U.S., the wild deer population is one that has shown signs of getting infected with SARS-CoV-2 and continuing to hold that population. You know, in Hong Kong, there's a strong intervention procedure that utilizes this culling of animals when they pose a potential risk for passing pathogens to humans that isn't really present in other places. It's a historical thing that goes back to some avian flu. So it's certainly something to pay attention to, but the risk of this to the human population is still not very clear and may in fact be minimal.
All right. Well, thanks as always for your insights. Really appreciate it. Andy Pekosh is professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Supported by Michael Bloomberg, he's the founder and majority owner of the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. That's Bloomberg LP. And right now, S&P futures are down 22 points. Dow futures firmly in the red now, down 75 points. And NASDAQ futures adding to their declines, they are now down 140 points with the NASDAQ now in a correction. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Trade crypto for less coin with commissions just 12 to 18 basis points and no hidden spreads or markups. Learn more at ibkr.com/crypto. Up first, we are seeing more tech weakness following yesterday's late day sell-off. We get the very latest live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Karen, the NASDAQ correction that started this week has gotten worse. After yesterday's slide, the tech-heavy index is now down close to 12% since its November high. And the list of investor concerns is growing. Markets face a 1-2 punch of Fed rate hikes and the possible reduction of its $8.8 trillion balance sheet. And earnings season so far has been uneven, highlighting the risk that it may fail to do the heavy lifting for stocks when the Federal Reserve ends its stimulus. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Radio.
And John, speaking of earnings, Netflix shares are down more than 21% this morning on disappointing subscriber growth. We get more from Bloomberg Intelligence tech and media analyst Geeta Ranganathan.
The street was kind of looking more at a first quarter additions of about 6.2, 6.3 million, which would kind of then set the tone for the whole of 2022. We're looking more at like a 2.5 million, which really now kind of, I think, adds to a lot of nervousness amongst investors.
Geeta Ranganathan at Bloomberg Intelligence says the subscriber forecast will result in Netflix's slowest start to a new year in at least a decade.
Well, Nathan, Bitcoin also lower today. In fact, it's trading at its lowest level in more than 5 months. This morning, it's at $38,800.
On Wall Street, Karen, J.P. Morgan Chase is coming off its most profitable year on record. And as a result, it's rewarding the CEO, Jamie Dimon. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita.
Nathan, regulatory filings show that Jamie Dimon got a 10% pay raise to $34.5 million for his work last year. J.P. Morgan earned $48.3 billion last year. The move is the latest sign that after compensation pressure emerged last year from the junior ranks up through the banking and trading hierarchy, banks are now paying their most senior leaders more as well. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. China is quietly urging banks to increase lending after a slow start to the year. Bloomberg News has learned that the People's Bank of China has urged large state-owned lenders and regional banks to extend more credit to companies and households. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Right now, futures, they are extending losses with S&P futures down 22 points this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
And it's 6:33 on Wall Street. Temperatures are extending losses as well. It's just 14 degrees in Central Park. We're still dealing with the accident on Route 17 and Upper Saddle River. Details coming up in traffic. Michael Barr, what else is going on in New York and around the world?
Nathan, Secretary of State Antony Blinken is sitting down in a high-stakes meeting with his Russian counterpart in Geneva. During his opening remarks, Blinken says that the U.S. and other Western allies are committed to resolving the situation diplomatically, but it is promising serious consequences if the Russians invade Ukraine.
We're also committed, if that proves impossible, and Russia decides to pursue aggression against Ukraine, to a united, swift, and severe response.
Right now, Moscow is still insisting Ukraine not be admitted into NATO. New York City Mayor Eric Adams is calling for better coordination between federal and local authorities to fight urban crime. Adams says law enforcement agencies should coordinate against gun violence the way it did against terrorism after the September 11th attacks.
That same coordination that stopped planes from flying in our buildings must be used to stop bullets from carving highways of death in our country, particularly in black and brown and poorer communities.
Mayor Adams spoke at the National Conference of Mayors in Washington yesterday. Abortion opponents are gathering today in Washington for the largest anti-abortion rally in the U.S. The March for Life arrives as the Supreme Court will decide in the coming months on whether to let states impose tighter restrictions on abortion. An American Airlines passenger forced a plane heading from Miami to London to turn around in mid-flight after she refused to wear a mask. Local law enforcement met the plane in Miami and escorted the woman off the jet. A new study suggests adding low doses of peanut powder to a toddler's daily diet help them overcome their peanut allergies. The treatment is already FDA approved for 4 to 17-year-olds, but seems to work even better in younger kids. Dr. Stacy Jones is the co-author of the study.
We have a window of opportunity to treat really young children really early in their disease course and hopefully help them lose their peanut allergy.
Dr. Stacy Jones of Arkansas Children's Hospital. Singer Meat Loaf has died at age 74. He was known for hits like Bat Out of Hell. Meat Loaf, whose real name was Marvin Lee Adday, sold over 100 million albums worldwide. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here again is John Stanshauer.
Thanks, Nathan. Not surprisingly, plenty of boos at the Garden. Knicks for the third time in 4 days lost at home to a team you figured they could beat. This time, New Orleans. Knicks again fell behind early, and then the Pelicans put it away, winning the third quarter 35-15. The final was 102-91. What's happened to Julius Randle, the NBA's most improved player last season? Second team All-NBA, got a big contract. Not playing anywhere near that level. Randle last night, 4 points. He shot 1 for 9. Since winning last year's Australian Open, Naomi Osaka has not played much. Seeded 13th this year, Osaka today lost to 20-year-old New Jersey native Amanda Anisimova. Advancing to the men's fourth round, Miomir Kecmanovic, who was going to have to play fellow Serb Novak Djokovic in the first round. Then Djokovic, of course, was sent home. Rafael Nadal playing now. He's won the first set of his match. 2014, Kevin Ollie coached UConn to the national championship. He was fired 4 years later, and the school said it was for NCAA violations, so they didn't owe him what was left on his contract. Ollie sued, an arbitrator agreed. UConn now owes Ollie $11 million. MLB lockout continues. Two sides have had one brief bargaining session last month. Players quickly dismissed an owner's proposal. The union now set to make a counteroffer next week. If there's no deal soon, they'll likely make official that spring training will not begin on time. NFL playoffs resume tomorrow, starting with Cincinnati coming off its first postseason win in 31 years. Now at Tennessee, the Titans get star running back Derrick Henry back from a broken foot. 49ers just upset the Cowboys. Now they go to Green Bay tomorrow night. It might snow. It'll definitely be cold. Rams Bucks Sunday in Buffalo at Kansas City. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Thank you.
All right, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Let's take a look at stocks, the pre-market action with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. Kriti, the at-home stocks are getting hammered this morning.
Hammered, absolutely. And the proxy child for that is Netflix, no doubt about it. NFLX is your ticker, down over 20% this morning. Nathan, for a company that's this big, a 20% drop is not normal. And this, of course, comes after they missed their outlook, expecting to add only 2.5 million users in the current quarter. Compare that to the 18.2 million customers in 2021. That's actually down about by 50% from the year before. So that kind of growth scare that the stay-at-home trade perhaps wasn't going to continue into 2022. That is very clear, at least when it comes to Netflix. So remember, they're also dealing with the impact of a $1 to $2 price hike that they had in the last quarter. some of that crimping demand as well, but they're also dealing with increased competition. And speaking of those competitors on Netflix results, you do have some sympathy trades there. Roku, for example, ROKU is your ticker, down 5.3% in the pre-market. Disney as well. We all have that Disney Plus subscription. At least parents do, from what I understand. I recently watched Encanto, fell in love with it.
I was going to say, we don't talk about Bruno.
DIS is the ticker, down 3.6%. On the plus side, though, Peloton, this is where you are seeing a lot more volatility. PTON is your ticker there, up just shy of 6%. Now, I did just say that growth trade was fading, and it was as early as yesterday, Peloton closing down 27%. So it looks like you are seeing a little bit of a buy-the-dip mentality when it comes to this stock. This, of course, also coming at the same time as news that they are planning to slash costs to cope with slowing demand for their stationary bikes, cutting jobs, production levels as well, just given those slower sales, Nathan.
So cuts there at Peloton, but some big growth coming apparently at Intel.
Yeah, huge, huge plans when it comes to Intel. INTC is your ticker, down about 0.4%. Remember, it was up quite a bit this morning. This comes after they're planning to spend $20 billion on a chip-making hub on the outskirts of Columbus, Ohio. The company expects it to be the world's biggest silicon manufacturing site. This is huge at a time when domestic capacity for chip makers is really, or for chip production, is really in the spotlight. So INTC is the ticker you want to watch there. Nathan, I'm going to end here with a big tech stock, but not one here in the States. We're going to go abroad. Alibaba, BABA, down about 0.5%, dropping over 1.5% earlier in the pre-market as participants weighed the stock impact of an FT report saying China's state broadcaster has implicated Jack Ma's Ant Group in a corruption scandal. We'll see if some of that price action bleeds through.
Yeah, interesting, as we've been following the tech crackdown in China. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta, hope you have a great weekend. Once it comes around, I know you got a very busy Friday ahead. As we take a look at stocks as a whole, ahead of this Friday morning open, futures are falling pretty firmly now, with S&P futures down 16 points, Dow futures down 44, NASDAQ futures leading declines. They're down 109 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, sunny but cold today. Highs only in the low 20s, upper 20s to start the weekend. By Sunday, we'll be in the low 30s with more clouds than sun. Right now, 14 degrees. That's it.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures this morning are falling. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call, and here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the red, helped by a pre-market plunge in Netflix. Dow futures currently down 61 points. S&P's dropped 20, while the NASDAQ futures are off by 125. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.79%. Gold is down 6. Oil is also down. And Bitcoin is plunging by 6%. Shanghai fell by 0.9% overnight, while European markets are also in the red, led by 1.6% losses in Germany. Back in the U.S., on the economic front at 10 o'clock, the leading index. After the bell last night, Netflix gave a weak subscriber outlook. Shares are down 20% pre-market. And in deal news, people familiar said that PetSmart is in talks to go public through a blank check company backed by KKR. In other news, Morgan Stanley sees Brent hitting $100 a barrel by the third quarter. And wrapping things up, Eli Lilly was raised to buy over at DZ Bank. Beyond Meat raised to hold at HSBC. Netflix was downgraded by at least 7 firms. And Peloton was raised to buy over at Stifel. Live from the First Bank of News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, security talks between U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov have just ended. It comes after President Joe Biden warned Russia would pay a heavy price for any intervention in Ukraine. Lavrov says Russia is grateful to the U.S. for participating in the security talks. The U.S. plans to raise the federal employee minimum wage to $15 an hour. That's according to a report from Axios. Meatloaf, born Marvin Lee Adday, has died. The singer, known for such hits as Bat Out of Hell, was 74. Big news out of the Australian Open. Defending champion Naomi Osaka has been knocked out of the women's third round. In the NBA, the Knicks and Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Bruins beat the Capitals 4-3. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news in science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, which announced that renowned scholar and educational leader Dr. Tech Lim will join the university as NJIT's ninth president. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. New York City Mayor Eric Adams plans to convert his first paycheck this week into two cryptocurrencies, which he's been hyping as a potential economic engine for the city. Adams' first salary payment will be deposited with Coinbase, an online platform used for buying cryptocurrency, and then converted into Ethereum and Bitcoin. The Federal Reserve took a key step in weighing the creation of its own digital currency. It's a move the central bank says could help ensure the U.S. dollar's dominance. The Fed came out with a paper saying a central bank digital currency would be a highly significant innovation, but it won't move on the idea unless there's support from the White House and Congress. And PlayStation fans will still be able to play Call of Duty on the Sony gaming platform even after the proposed purchase of Activision Blizzard by Microsoft, the owner of Xbox. Microsoft Gaming CEO Phil Spencer offered the assurance after speaking to Sony executives, saying that the company intends to honor all of Activision Blizzard's existing agreements after the acquisition. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's coming up to 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to take a look at what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories from our nation's capital include Democrats drawing lines over a potentially slimmed-down Build Back Better plan, President Biden looking for support on Ukraine from Japan's prime minister, and the House stepping up a probe on climate change and looking to hear from Big Oil. Let's bring in Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, joining us live from our 99.1 studios in the nation's capital. So, Emily, we heard from the president this week all but admitting that the Build Back Better plan is going to need to get smaller, and now it looks like the same old squabbles among Democrats are coming right back.
Yeah, Nathan, I mean, remember, this bill has already been shrunk down pretty far from what most Democrats in Congress initially wanted. And so now this news that's going to be shrunk down even further, it's really igniting this debate over what is going to be cut, because so much has been cut already. One thing that Biden mentioned was that expanded a child tax credit. Senator Joe Manchin has come out saying that it's too broad, too many people are receiving it, needs to be narrowed. But now we're hearing from other lawmakers saying absolutely not. Senator Sherrod Brown saying he's going to fight for it. You've heard other lawmakers say that that's a really important piece of the legislation. You're also hearing at the same point about the salt tax, that there's this concern that it's going to be taken out. Lawmakers are saying it must remain a part of that bill. But at the same point, there is some opposition to the salt tax from progressives. And so it's just showing how difficult it's going to be to really slim this down. We heard from Senator Joe Manchin the other day, who said that they actually just need a clean slate for this. And he made that previous offer to the White House back in December. He says that's off the table. We need to kind of start anew. And this is suggesting that it might take some time for Democrats to get this done, if they are able to get this done before the midterms begin. There's a couple in March, but they really start up in May.
Yeah, and of course, the March deadline for when President Biden is going to be delivering his first State of the Union address, and presumably he would want to have at least some kind of movement on Build Back Better. It's his signature legislation at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens with it. As Speaker Nancy Pelosi mentioned, that it might have to actually get renamed. There's been a couple of jokes about, you know, two build, two back better. But yes, definitely, I think it's good to keep an eye on that State of the Union address for Biden as a potential deadline for a time that, you know, they're going to want to be able to show progress and to get something done. There is also a sense that now that the Democrats have, at least for the moment, foreseeably finished their push on voting rights, that there's only really so much they can do at this point, that they're now going to turn their attention back to this piece of legislation, because certainly there are aspects of it that can get 50 votes. The question is, how do you structure a bill so that everyone's priorities are included, and no one's going to vote against it because certain things are not in there.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what, if any, pieces of Build Back Better do end up seeing some progress in the weeks to come. We're also, of course, watching these rising tensions between the U.S. and Russia over Ukraine. There was the sort of mixed messaging we got from President Biden at the news conference this week. Now the president this morning is going to be meeting with the prime minister of Japan. How much is Ukraine going to play into that?
It's definitely going to be something that Biden's going to be discussing. He's trying to really make sure that all of his allies are really behind the U.S. on taking action against Russia should they try to invade Ukraine. It's going to be one of several things they discuss. They're also expected to discuss China's military buildup, North Korean weapons tests. We're also seeing this morning Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Geneva talking about the U.S. differences with Russia. Blinken has said he doesn't expect to resolve anything today, but he said the focus is to test whether the path of diplomacy and dialogue still remains open between the two countries.
And as we heard from Michael Barr just a few minutes ago, the talks between Blinken and his Russian counterpart have just ended. We're watching as the Russian foreign minister addresses reporters right now, so we'll be, of course, watching that very closely. And now, Emily, we're going to be watching the House Oversight Committee, apparently, because they're holding a climate change hearing next month and looking for testimony from some pretty high-powered companies.
Yeah, they've asked for testimony from Exxon, from other oil companies as well, Shell, Chevron, BP. And this is part of an ongoing investigation from the committee to really try to keep an eye on these gas and oil companies and their pledges to cut emissions. This is sort of part of the Democrats' wider platform on climate change. And you've heard from the chair of the committee, Carolyn Maloney, saying that this hearing is supposed to be focused on whether the industry is finally taking steps to curb emissions or if it's just been sort of messaging from these companies.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch that hearing as well, given that a lot of the messaging we're hearing when it comes to Build Back Better from the White House, particularly talking about wanting to get some of those clean energy provisions. So how could this potentially affect climate policy, this hearing from House Oversight in our last 30 seconds here?
I mean, a lot of what these hearings are, they're for information gathering. And so it could be that after this hearing, lawmakers come up with some proposals based on what they're hearing from these companies about what, if any, regulation needs to be put out there or other transparency measures. I think that's something we're going to kind of have to keep watching as the committee continues their probe.
All right. We'll be watching for that with that hearing coming up in just a few weeks. February 8th is when it's on the schedule for the House Oversight Committee after ExxonMobil and Chevron report their earnings. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins with us this morning from our Bloomberg 99.1 studios in Washington, D.C., where you can hear Bloomberg Radio in the nation's capital, 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. To follow all the latest on the nation's capital, you can find more on all these stories and more at Bloomberg.com or, of course, on the Bloomberg terminal. Right now, S&P futures are down 16 points. Dow futures down 47. The tech-led NASDAQ futures down 112 points following the tech-led sell-off late day yesterday. Futures point to more losses on this Friday morning. Much more to come on Bloomberg Surveillance. That's up next with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. Hope you have a great weekend. This is Bloomberg.